KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a cloudy sky here in Atlantic, and it's currently 43 degrees. We look for it to be cloudy with light rain today and a high around 52. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In the news, rescue crews from Atlantic and Marnie were called to the 51-mile marker of Interstate 80 westbound a little after 2 p.m. on Wednesday for a single vehicle accident involving a pickup. One person, a passenger, was said to have been injured. Shortly afterward, a collision between a semi and two cars occurred at the 49-mile marker westbound. All three vehicles ended up in the median. There were no injuries reported with that accident. The Iowa State Patrol was handling the accident investigation, and no other details are currently available. A man driving an SUV and who reached for a can of tobacco caused an accident to take place Wednesday afternoon in Page County. The Iowa State Patrol reports 46-year-old Jason Lynn Sander of Clarinda was traveling east on Highway 2 west of Clarinda a little after 4:30 p.m. when he reached for a can of tobacco. As he did so, the 2004 Dodge Durango he was driving crossed the center line of the road and hit a westbound 2009 Freightliner truck driven by 60-year-old Keith Woods of Red Oak. A 2014 Kia Optima that was traveling west on Highway 2 behind the Freightliner took evasive action and ended up in the north ditch. The driver of the Kia was identified as 27-year-old Cassie Joe Luft of Clarinda. Following the collision, the pickup came to rest in the north ditch and the truck pulled over onto the north shoulder of the road. Sander, who was wearing his seatbelt, was injured in the collision and transported by Clarinda EMS to the Clarinda Regional Medical Center. The Iowa Finance Authority, or IFA, Board of Directors Wednesday awarded a total of more than $8.6 million in federal housing tax credits to support the construction of 552 rental homes for families and seniors. The 12 projects are located, among other cities, in Harlan and Red Oak locally. In Harlan, Christensen Meadows is receiving tax credits amounting to $710,833 for 36 affordable new construction units. In Red Oak, Prairie Fire Lofts is receiving $397,495 for 22 affordable family units through adaptive reuse. IFA Executive Director Debbie Durham said the housing tax credit awards announced on Wednesday will soon have a very real impact on hundreds of Iowa families and seniors who will call them home. Not only is affordable housing the cornerstone for thriving families, she says, but it's also integral for thriving communities. The 12 communities awarded projects will benefit from the positive economic ripple that ripple effects it is for generations to come. Lisa Steen Riggs, manager of the Danish Mill Corporation, announced yesterday the Danish Mill had received a $44,000 donation from the Mike and Lou Howard Foundation. Riggs says after receiving the Howard's generous gift of $100,000 at the Danish Windmill's annual meeting in January from them personally, this additional funding from the Mike and Lou Howard Foundation will help to bring closure to many important capital projects that are works in progress on the windmill's master to-do list. In addition to completing the roofing and historic restoration projects, some projects currently underway include retrofitting the replica 980 Viking Smithies home with museum-quality LED lights, repairing the catwalk, building a miller's path, replacing the aged sprinkler system, and much more. Riggs said also that Mike and Lou Howard have been so generous with the windmill and the community overall. Everyone is energized by the economic development and revitalization efforts that they have initiated, and the positive impact of their investments will be beneficial for many, many years to come. The Shelby County Sheriff's Office canine Cordy is set to receive a bullet and stab protective vest thanks to a charitable donation from a nonprofit organization, Vested Interest in Canines Incorporated. Canine Cordy's vest is sponsored by a fundraiser that was hosted by Denilyn Allen of San Antonio, Texas, and will be embroidered with the sentiment in memory of canine Chucky. Delivery of that vest is expected within 8 to 10 weeks. Sheriff Neil Gross says canine Cordy was purchased through fundraising activities and donations in the fall of 2018 and is a Belgian Malinois. Cordy is currently assigned with Shelby County Deputy Braden Quist, and they have completed together all the state required training and are currently hitting the streets throughout Shelby County. Canine Cordy and Handler Quist will benefit from the added protection provided by Vested Interest in Canines Incorporated, as Canine Cordy is a dual-purpose dog. Well, Wendy Ensley, the executive secretary for the Glenwood Municipal Utilities, or GMU, said yesterday that GMU staff, along with the help of Ben Lundstrom, Andy Young, and Jensen Well, were able to get a well number 3 and water treatment plant running Tuesday night. Ensley says they've been pumping water all night to fill the towers, but are still required to boil water and need everyone to continue to conserve water by reducing use. And to follow up with that, residents of Glenwood are still strongly encouraged by city officials and the DNR to continue to conserve water and use it only for necessities after boiling. Authorities said Wednesday that water continues to be transported in from Shenandoah and Red Oak, but the trucks are having a difficult time keeping up with the amount of water being used. Officials are urging residents to conserve the water and use only when necessary to ensure the process of getting a more permanent system in place happens quickly as possible. The treatment plant and one well were successfully put back online yesterday, and testing is being conducted on those today. The water, both within the well and treatment plant, must be verified safe to drink, and then the entire distribution system must be flushed to replace all existing water with newly produced water. Sampling must be conducted throughout the distribution system to verify the water is safe to drink after it's confirmed that water has turned over within the distribution system, and that process, officials say, will take some time. They commend the residents of Glenwood for being extremely patient and cooperative throughout the flooding event and are encouraged to continue to do so until the system is back up to normal. And while there was some good news Tuesday night with regard to the opening of the segment of I-680 helping with the flow of traffic between Omaha and Council Bluffs, the public should expect that many southwest Iowa roads will remain closed for weeks and in some cases months due to severe flood damage. Iowa DOT is working diligently to assess damage, repair roads, and get them reopened as quickly as possible. Working with the Federal Highway Administration, local transportation partners, and the Nebraska and Missouri Departments of Transportation, officials said the goal is to keep people moving as safely as possible through the area. For those roads remained closed, barriers continue to block access, and those barriers will remain in place until the road has been deemed safe for traffic. A link to the detailed map of the initial damage assessments is available for viewing under this same story on the news page at KJAN.com. The governors of Iowa, Nebraska, and Missouri are asking the Army Corps of Engineers to come up with more flood prevention solutions. The three governors and Army Corps officials met Wednesday afternoon in Council Bluffs and plan to meet again in 3 weeks. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds told reporters the Corps must prioritize flood management and people.
We can't continue to experience the type of floods that we've gone through here in the last recent days.
Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts delivered the same message.
We have to do something different along the river, that this is not going to be acceptable for us to continue experiencing these flooding episodes.
And Missouri Governor Mike Parson amplified the point.
We need some straight-up answers from the Corps of Engineers of how they're managing the river. Something needs to change.
Reynolds says the three governors are ready to lobby Congress for changes in Army Corps regulations that have governed how the Missouri River levee system is managed.
These are three governors that are going to be engaged and active in looking at different solutions and how we move forward so that we don't continue to have a repeat.
Reynolds said the governors asked the Corps to ensure any temporary construction to repair damaged levees can be part of the permanent levee system.
We have cities right now, communities right now, and towns that are still underwater, and so we have to stop the inflow, do the temporary fix, start to assess what the breaches look like and how we move forward.
Missouri's governor suggests state officials should have a more active role in making the decisions about long-term river management. Travel difficulties prevented the governor from Kansas from attending Wednesday's gathering, and she plans to be a part of the next meeting in about 3 weeks. The U.S. Small Business Administration is opening a business recovery center in southwest Iowa to help merchants in the area rebuild and recover from this spring's widespread flooding. SBA spokesman Bill Kuntz says a temporary office is now open in Glenwood.
This is a center where business owners can come in and get advice on how to apply for a disaster loan from the SBA for the flooding event. And this business owner might have not been flooded, but might have lost their revenue because their customers are underwater or they're cut off or whatever the reason might be.
The center is designed to be a one-stop location for businesses and access a variety of specialized help in order to rebuild using low-interest government loans.
For most folks, they're below-market rate loans. A business can borrow money at 4 1/8%. We can make loans based on actual physical flood damages, plus we can also loan for lost revenue. Normally, these loans would be a repayment of 15 or 30 years based on what the business owner could afford to pay.
The SBA says businesses of any size and private nonprofit organizations can borrow up to $2 million to repair or replace damaged or destroyed real estate, machinery and equipment, inventory, and other business assets. Kuntz adds that it's not just business owners who can apply.
The SBA does help homeowners and renters, and that will be who we help the most because they're the ones with the most impact. Homeowners and renters can get money as low as 2%, and we can loan a homeowner up to $200,000 for damage to their residence, plus another $40,000 for personal property.
No appointment is necessary to go to the center. All services are free. The SBA office is located in room 208 of the Meyer Complex at 111 Lacey Street in Glenwood. You can also call 800-659-2955. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.